As has been mentioned, this summer series we're doing is called a topical series, which means we're not specifically working through a book of the Bible, even though we are in Proverbs. We're not working through a text. It's multiple texts to see what that has to say about one topic, okay? And as I said earlier, today is making wise decisions. So there's a few verses I'm going to read. They should be coming up on the screen behind me as we go through. I'll try and keep us right. So first one, Proverbs 11, chapter 11, verse 3. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. Then Proverbs chapter 12, verse 5. The thoughts of the righteous are just. The counsel of the wicked are deceitful. Then again, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. And Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. And then Proverbs 16:1-4, we'll have that one again here. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answers of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. And Proverbs 16:9, the heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps. Amen, yeah. Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seems right to a man, but his end is the way to death. And Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33, the lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord. Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. And finally, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. I hope you're getting the theme through those verses there. Let me pray one more time for Andy as he comes up. Lord, thank you for your word. Prepare our hearts and minds and speak through Andy this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning, everyone. Hope you're doing well. So as Sam said, we started a new series in the book of Proverbs last week. And when you go to Proverbs 10 to 31, what you find out is that there's a lot of one-sentence sayings that you find there, little nuggets of wisdom, if you will. And the themes go up and down in the chapter. So what we're doing is we're taking a row of verses that connect with one theme and helping us think through what that means. And today, we're looking at making wise plans, okay? How do we get guidance on making wise decisions as believers? All of us have to make plans in life, but how do I make wise plans that are going to honor the Lord? Now, there are small decisions, aren't there, that we have to make day to day, like where to shop, what do I watch, how do I spend my weekends, where do I go on holiday? But then there are bigger decisions out there we have to make, like where do I work? Where should I live? How should I go about, if I've got kids, parenting my children? Should I get married to this person or that person? Should I stay single? How should I invest the time and the gifts and the energies that I have to God's glory? There are so many decisions we have to make day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year. And it can be difficult to know, how do I make wise ones? How do I make wise ones? Well, thankfully, the Bible and God has not left us blind on this topic. The book of Proverbs helps us. And so this morning, what I want us to see is that there are two big truths that go hand in hand when making plans. And there's five questions you want to ask yourself as you're making a plan, okay? So two big truths that we see in the book of Proverbs and the rest of the Bible, and then five questions you want to ask yourself as you're making plans. Okay, so two big truths. It's interesting that as you go through the book of Proverbs, that two truths go hand in hand. Let me show you. Proverbs 16, verse 9. The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. The heart of the man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Solomon says, as humans, we plan, we have ambitions, we make decisions, but it's the Lord who establishes our steps. You see those two truths? We are responsible for our actions, and yet God is totally in control. Let me show you in Proverbs 21, verse 31. It says this, the horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. War is coming. Does that mean you sit back in your house, make a cup of tea and get a biscuit? Because God's in control? No, we make preparations for that battle. We get the horses ready. But it's God to whom the victory belongs. He decides who gets the victory. Do you see the two truths that go hand in hand here? God is in control, and yet we are totally responsible for the decisions and choices that we make. And this is what we see all the way through the Bible. God is a God who's sovereign. That means he is totally in control of all things. He knows all things, he sees all things, and he's working out all things according to his good and perfect purposes. Proverbs 16, verse 4, the Lord has made everything for his purpose. Everything. Everything for his purpose. The good things that happen in life and even the bad things that happen in life. The little things that happen in life and the big things that happen in life. Now, just quick disclaimer on that. That doesn't mean that God is the author of evil, because the Bible is clear. Evil deeds belong to the evil man. What it means is that God overrules, and that even in evil circumstances, God can bring good out of evil. Remember Joseph? Joseph was that arrogant teenager, and lots of difficult and evil things happened to him. He was thrown into a pit. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. And then while he's in Egypt, he's falsely accused. He goes back into prison. He's forgotten for years. And then he meets his brothers again later on, the ones who sold him into slavery. And it's at the end of the story, when he looks back, he can say, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God has a purpose in everything. Proverbs 16, verse 33 says, the lot is cast into the lap, but it's every decision is from the Lord. This is verse is saying, you might think things are random, but things aren't random. God decides. There is no fortune. There is no luck. All things happen according to God's perfect plans and purposes. Even the smallest thing, the blade of grass in the Jack Cain field, is under the sovereignty of our great God. And that theme is continued into the New Testament. Matthew 10, 29, and not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father in heaven. These verses tell us clearly that all he decrees will ultimately come to pass. His plans, his purposes cannot be thwarted. They cannot be changed. He is in control of all things. So, does that mean we are robots then? Does that mean we are robots? No, that's where we get the other truth in the Bible. Proverbs 16:1, the plans of the heart belong to who? They belong to man. The plans of the heart belong to man. We are free to make choices. God didn't tell you this morning what to wear. He should have told some of you what to wear, but he didn't tell you what to wear. You got up, you looked at your clothes, the ones that were washed, hopefully, and you put them on this morning. You are free to make plans. You chose to come to church today. Good choice. could have chosen not to come to church. That would have been a bad choice. You are responsible, though, for your plans. You are responsible for the decisions you make. You are responsible for your choices. And these two truths go side by side and are freeing as we make decisions. Why? Because if only one of those things was true, we'd be in big trouble. If everything was fixed by God and our choices didn't matter, then what does it matter if you get up in the morning, out of bed? If God's in control and your choices mean absolutely nothing in life, you'd just be passive, wouldn't you? Just resign to the life that you have. You'd just be a robot waiting for God to control your next move. But at the same time, if it's the other one, if it's just down to us and God isn't in control, then do you know what? You get quickly very cynical and very angry very quickly. Do you know why? Because often you make plans, and how often do those plans come to fruition? How often do those plans get changed, don't they? Very quickly. And if you're a control freak, particularly someone who likes to control every little thing and plan every little thing in life, if God wasn't in control, you'd get very cynical and very angry very quickly, because life doesn't often match up to the plans that you make in life. Do you see? Knowing that God is in control and that we're responsible for our actions means you can work hard and make plans because you're responsible for your choices, and at the same time, you can relax and not freak out because God is in control. He is the one who fixes everything, and yet you and I are free to make choices. And this is really helpful because generally when I've talked about plans with people or being a planner, there's two types of people in the world, and you can think which one you are. The first type of person is someone who doesn't think through their decisions. They're not a planner. They're just impulsive. They just make decisions according to how they feel in any given moment instead of praying about it and submitting their plans to the Lord. So that's one type. Maybe you're that type. You're just impulsive. Make hasty decisions. You don't think through your decisions very often. Then there's the other side of us today, and we're planners. We plan everything to the very minutest detail in the week. But here's what we struggle with. We struggle with anxiety. We struggle with anxiety. And we fear that we're making the wrong decision in any given moment. You're constantly trying to work out God's will and thinking, is this it? You need to pray for 3 years and have 10 committees before you make a decision. You want to make sure everything's right. And then even when you make the decision, you're nervous about it. And so the book of Proverbs is helpful if you think about it. The person who's lazy and is a bit hasty of their plans and impulsive, it gives you a kick up the backside and says, you know what? Do some planning. Do some planning in your weeks. Do some planning in your month. It's helpful to do those things. Have a few plans. Do the hard work of planning. I know it's difficult, but it brings success. But if you're on the other side and you overplan and you're always planning and you get anxious when things don't work out as you want them to work out, the Bible says relax. Do your planning. That's good. But rest in God's sovereignty. And here's the freeing thing. God's purpose is not something you have to work out in advance. That's fortune telling. That's mediums. That's spiritualists. That's not the Bible. That's not our Christian God. He doesn't say you have to work out my will before you do it. He says, get on with it and trust me. Get on with making decisions and trust me. God's sovereignty is freeing. You don't have to work out his exact will, and you don't have to be anxious about the future, because do you know what? God is in control. God is reigning. Often we fret and anxious because we forget God is good, God is wise, God is in control. Often we're trying to play God, aren't we, in our lives? We're trying to play God in our plans, and God doesn't call us to do that. He calls us to trust in him. Do you know there's very few things you control in life? Very few things. You can make your plans. But stop trying to play God. You know, when Mez told me he was going to leave to go up to Orkney, I was gutted. But I was also very anxious. I thought, well, how's the church going to keep on going? How is a middle-class lad like myself going to reach the guys in the scheme who are not like me? You know, Mez had done a great job at doing that. Can I do the same? And do you know what the Lord kept telling me? Don't be anxious. Trust the church into my hands. That's what you need to do with your anxiety. Trust your family into God's hands. Trust your plans into God's hands. Because he knows better than you. He loves you. And he's greater than you. And he's wiser than you. And he knows better than you. So, God is in control. We're responsible. Make plans. Five questions you want to ask yourselves when you're making plans, okay? Very quickly. First question. Have I committed my plan to the Lord? Have I committed my plan to the Lord? Proverbs 16, verse 3 says this: commit your work to the Lord. Commit your work to the Lord. What does that mean? The word commit there in the Hebrew means to roll over onto something. It means to put your full weight on something. Okay? It's like when you sit on a hammock. It's no good sitting on a hammock on your bum with your feet on the ground. Because you know what's going to happen? You're going to lie back and you're going to fall off and topple. What do you need to do? You need to trust that hammock and you jump on, put your feet up, hands behind your back. Relax. Let it take your full weight. That's what a hammock's supposed to do. And that's the same with our plans. We place them into God's hands and say, I trust you with my plans. I'm giving them over to you. That's what we're called to do. Commit them fully into God's hands. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. We looked at it last week, but it's important this week. Trust in the Lord. With part of your heart? No, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Making wise decisions involves committing them to God, trusting God, and submitting to God no matter what happens. This is what you say as a believer. We pray. You say, I'm going to commit this plan to you. And if it's your will to give me what I desire, praise God. I'm going to trust you. But if you are going to withhold this thing from me, praise God. I'm going to trust you nonetheless. So whether it's good, whether it's bad, whatever the answer is, we're going to say, yes, I'm going to praise you, God. Whether it's good or whether it's bad. Being in a relationship with God means saying this: I will trust you whether I understand it or not, and will accept your will, whatever that may be, and I'm not going to bail on you, God. I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to jump ship, God. I'm going to keep on persevering. Here's the thing. Often, God does his greatest work when he doesn't give you something that you want. God often does his greatest work when he doesn't give you something that you want, because it gets you to question your heart and question your motivation, and you lean and learn to trust God. And you learn to submit. Instead of saying, it's my will, God, we say, your will be done in my life. Again, think about Joseph. Remember, he was that arrogant brat. He's an arrogant brat. Daddy's favorite. And so God took him on a journey, a long journey. It wasn't Joseph's 50-year plan, was it, to get beaten by his brothers, to be sold into slavery, to be falsely accused, to end up in jail for years and forgotten, and then become the ruler of Egypt. That wasn't his 50-year plan. Probably just thought, you know what, I'm going to inherit the land from my father because I'm his favorite, and I'm going to have a cushy life. That wasn't his plan. And yet God took him through those circumstances to change him and transform him into the image of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He squeezed the arrogance out of him to get him to submit to God, and he became wise. You cannot grow wise without going through difficult circumstances and persevering. You become wise as you walk with God, the God of all wisdom, through difficult circumstances and struggles. And God sometimes withholds things from us that we really, really want, but he knows better than us they're not good for us in that season of life. And sometimes they're good things we want, aren't they? Sometimes it's marriage. Sometimes it's having kids. Sometimes it's moving churches. Sometimes it's getting a new job. And sometimes the Lord doesn't give us those things. He's not being cruel. He loves us. He's wiser than us. But you've got to commit yourself to the Lord and his plans, not your plans. Commit yourself to the Lord's. Second question you need to ask yourself is, am I seeking first God's kingdom? So you commit your plan to the Lord. Am I committing my plan to the Lord? Am I seeking first his kingdom? Often people ask me this question. You probably asked it yourself. What is God's will for my life? What is God's will for my life? Why don't you just, a light from heaven and an angel come down and say, this is your will. This is what I want you to do. Well, God has revealed his will to us. What is his will for us? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 tells you all you need to know. His will is your sanctification. What does that mean? His will is for you to grow in godliness. His will is for you to honor him with your life. His will is for you to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. His will is not some big secret that you have to work out in your life. He has told us how he wants us to live right here in the pages of the Bible. It's revealed to you already. He wants you to live in such a way that honors him. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, and all these things shall be added unto you. What does that mean? That means you read God's word. That means you pray every day. It means you go to church as regularly as you can. It means you love your neighbor as yourself. It means you give generously what the Lord has given you. It means you share the gospel with unbelievers. It means you make disciples. It means that we plant churches. That's God's will for us. That's what God's will is for you. If you're doing these things and you're doing God's will, whatever that may be, whether you're buying a house or not, whether you're going to school or not, whether you're going on missions or not, whether you're getting married or not, whether you're deciding to live in the posh part or the poor part of town, seek first his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom. What is going to glorify his name in this decision? And he will establish your steps. And that's something you grow in as a Christian as you go on in the Christian life. So as we seek God in our lives, our hearts begin to align with God's will more and more. So as you grow to know God, as you grow to know his word, and as you pray, you'll make wiser and wiser decisions because he'll be changing you inside out. Proverbs 11 verse 3 says, the integrity of the upright guides them. The integrity of the upright guides them. So as you walk with the Lord, you become a person of integrity, a wise person, because you become a person that wants to honor the Lord. Third question, have you questioned your motivation? Have you questioned your motivation in this decision? Proverbs 16 verse 2, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. When planning, you always need to question your own motivation in the planning. Why? Because our hearts are deceitful, our hearts are wicked. We need to constantly ask the question of ourselves, what do I truly desire here? In this plan that I'm making, in these decisions that I'm making, what do I really desire deep down? Here's the thing. Each one of us is capable of persuading ourselves that we're making a good decision when we are clearly not. Let me say that again because it's really, really important. All of us are capable of persuading ourselves that we're making a good decision when it clearly isn't. Do you know why? It's so easy to deceive yourself with your own desires. Sometimes it can be something small and trivial, like going to get a haircut. You go and get your haircut, you point to the picture and the thing, and you think, that's going to look really good on me today. And you go in, get your haircut, and you look the same as the photo, but you go home and your wife says, what have you done? What have you done? You thought it looked good to you, but to everyone else, it looks absolutely awful. But you can also deceive yourself on really serious matters as well. When you really love something in life, do you know what? You make compromises to meet that end, don't you? Maybe you're a single person today, and you think, do you know what? There's not many good believers around. Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to marry an unbeliever. And you convince yourself deep down, this is a good decision because you're lonely. When in fact, what it's going to do is ruin your testimony and drag you to places you shouldn't be going. Or you make a decision about moving church. It's a big one. You convince yourself it's for pure motives, but really it's because you don't like someone at church. Or you don't like the discipline you're under. And you're like, I'm just going to naff off to somewhere else where nobody knows me. Or you love football. You love your football team. And you convince yourself, you know what? I can do the Christian walk without going to church so much. I'm going to put football first. I'm going to go to the games first. I'm going to play for a football team locally. And I'm going to miss church because I love my football. And it's a horrendous decision. Or you struggle with addictions and you convince yourselves and everyone else that drink and drugs doesn't have a hold of you. And yet it's directing every decision that you make. All these issues, it's so easy, isn't it, to deceive yourself and deceive the people around you. And it's so easy to justify your decision, persuade yourself, this is good. This is a good thing for me. I need this. But if any decision you're making is contradicting the word of God, that is not a good decision. It's a foolish decision. It's an unwise decision. It's not honoring the Lord. When you're making your decisions, question your motivation. Fourthly, and this is connected, have you asked for wise counsel? Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Again, we can deceive ourselves, and so what do we need? We need wise counsel. A wise man listens to the advice of wise people. Now, again, you've got to choose the people you ask for wisdom from very carefully because fools attract other fools. Fools will listen to foolish advice from their best pals down the road. No, listen to people who are willing to tell you the hard truths. Not who are going to kiss you, but who are willing to wound you. Not because they're being mean to you, but because they love you. And they care deeply about your soul. Get wise people around you and sift all your decisions through those counselors. And get a variety of people. Get a variety of people in your life. Have younger people in your life. Do you know why it's good to have younger people advising you? Because younger people are willing to take risks. Get older people in your life. Do you know why it's good to have older people in your life? Because they've been there and got the t-shirt. And can hopefully give you some sage advice. If you're a cautious person in life, speak to a risk taker. If you're a risk taker, talk to a cautious person. Have many advisors around you to help you make godly and wise decisions. And then finally, ask yourself the question, am I willing to let this plan go? Am I willing to let this plan go? Proverbs 19, verse 21 says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it's the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Many are the plans of a man. Many are the plans in this room. but it's the purpose of the Lord that will ultimately stand. It's good to plan. But life rarely works out how you want it to work out. And so the Bible says, hold your plans loosely. You might have a 5-year plan for your life right now, but it can get derailed in a moment. Just think about Andy Prime just a couple of weeks ago. Fit, healthy, one of the fittest persons you could ever meet. Could run triathlons in his sleep. 1 minute fit, nothing wrong with him. Next minute he's in hospital, having an operation for cancer, having to get chemotherapy. I bet that wasn't part of his 5-year plan. And yet God is taking him through that. We don't know why, but he is. That's why the second line of the Lord's Prayer is so important for the Christian. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. The prayer isn't, hallow my name, my kingdom come, my will be done. No, hallow your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Too many Christians in this room are cynical and angry with God because life hasn't worked out as they wanted it to work out. But the problem isn't with God and his will. It's because often we think we're in control. And we've been praying for too long, my will be done, not God's will be done. Every plan we make must be submitted to God and held loosely, knowing that God's ways are better than ours, knowing that he loves us, knowing that he's far wiser and far kinder than we are. And you can roll all your plans onto God and trust him because he has shown time and again to be trustworthy. He has given everything for us in the gospel. But when things are a struggle, here's what we think in our head. We think, when things are a struggle, God doesn't love me. God doesn't know what's best. It's like the child who turns around to their dad, and they, when they don't get what they want, they say, you hate me. You hate me. We recently decided, just last week, to do a TV ban in our house. We're not watching TV apart from watching family movies and sports events from time to time. Trying to get away from screens. And the reason is to try and help our kids develop their brains and so we can have more family time together. But here's what our children think. You hate us. All my friends have screens. Why can't you let me have screens? You're the worst parents ever. You don't love us. But it's the exact opposite. Why we're doing our decisions, why we're making our decisions in this way? Because we want to spend more time with them. It's actually more of a sacrifice not to have screens in the house than to have screens. It's easy to put your kids in front of a TV, isn't it, for days on end, and iPads and all the rest of it. We're doing this for a loving purpose, believe it or not. We're not trying to cause child abuse to our kids. Same with God, though, isn't it? Sometimes he doesn't give us what we want. Or things don't work out as we want them to work out, and we say, God, why me? Why always me? But in those moments, you should be praying, not my will be done, but your will be done. Your kingdom come, God. Whatever is happening, that is more important. Whatever's going on, that is more important. And trust him. Trust him because he's good. Remember Jesus Christ in the boat? Remember Jesus Christ in the boat? Storms come. And Jesus is sleeping. He's sleeping. And the disciples say to him, they wake him up and they say, don't you care? Don't you see that we're perishing? He gets up, he rebukes the wind and he says to them, you have little faith. Of course, Jesus cared. Of course, Jesus cared. And you know what they had forgotten? They had forgotten that he had told them, we're going to the other side. He said, let us go to the other side. They should have known that. And they forgot that they had the Son of God in the boat with them, taking them there. This is what we forget. Jesus never promised that the road wouldn't be bumpy. The road will be bumpy with lots of altitude. But what he did promise is that he'll get us to the other side. He said he would be with us in the boat till the end. And he has showed us his trustworthy and his love and his faithfulness over and over again. But he's shown us it specifically in the cross. Because on the cross, he paid for our sins and he took the wrath of God so that we might have life in his name. And as Romans 8 says, verse 18, and if God gave him up for us all, how will he not give us all things? Making wise plans will involve trusting God, and God is always good. So make your plans. Make your plans. But make plans that are going to seek first his kingdom. They're going to honor him. Commit your way to him. Trust in him. And submit to him. Because he is good. Amen? Amen. Amen.